I'm really excited for this word today. I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. I think it'll be a two-weeker. I'm guessing I'll start today and finish next week, unless, apart from some like act of the Lord that allows me to have a certain level of, I don't know, conciseness, if that's a word. I don't think it's going to happen all today, so it'll be one to come back for, I think. All right, well, let's pray. I love preaching. And I particularly love when people pray for my preaching, because then it's good. So pray with me. I love to pray from a certain verse. I think I almost forget where it's from. It's maybe in 1 Peter chapter 2 or something around there. It's in one of the Peters. And here's my paraphrase of it. Father, I pray that you would speak your words through me today with your power for your glory to serve your people. Pray, Father, each person here would hear the Rhema word of God. Thank you, Father. They would hear what you have for them to hear. Okay. I've got the place to start here. Trying to find it in my history. It's from Psalms. Oh, here it is. Psalms 85. Turn with me to Psalms 85, verse 8. And you can always turn with me or not. Your choice. I think it's helpful sometimes for me to see it where it is on the page. Brad's talked before about, he'll be like, oh, I know it's left page, top right. And one of the things I do is I read the same Bible, and in fact, I plan to get multiple copies of that version of the Bible. They can have different covers, but they'll have the same page layout, because it's helpful for me, because I know that Galatians 4 starts at the top left of the left page. It's like a few verses from Galatians 3, and then it goes into Galatians 4, and it's helpful because you get a visual picture of things. So anyway, that's why I think sometimes it's helpful to turn to stuff. Psalm 85, verse 8. This is fun. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. So this is like a word for you today. Let me hear what you'll speak, O Lord. I know you'll speak peace to me. I'm your saint. Isn't that awesome? It's such a good promise. Let me hear what the Lord's going to say. He's going to speak peace to me. Isn't that lovely? That's our God. It's his nature. He's so powerful, but when he speaks, it's peace. Isn't that lovely? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. And guys, remember, I'm from ESV. According to Brad, there's three steps in the Lord. You get born again, then baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then turned on to the New King James Version. I actually really do like the New King James Version. I actually almost haven't had peace to go to it, just because I've got ESV so, like, you know what I mean? I know where stuff is on the pages and stuff like that. ESV is a very good translation, too. All right. And then I supplement it with a concordance, which kind of helps me get the more literal reading of it. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. This is a powerful section of Scripture. Hey, here's the context of, I'm not going to tell you what the message is about per se to try to pin it down, but here's the context of what I'm sharing. I didn't used to share the Lord with people, although I would pray for people's healing on the street or give them a prophetic word. I didn't used to share the Lord to bring people to salvation, and I do now. I'm not afraid anymore. And so I'm going to speak about that. You remember a few weeks ago, Brad said, we don't share because we're afraid. And then a few weeks later, he's like, okay, let me talk with you a little straighter. You don't share because you care more about what people think about you than what the Lord thinks about you. That's why you don't share. And he said, that's meat. You got to chew on it. And so today, Today, what's interesting is Kenton gave a word to Megan at the beginning of the service that's actually my sermon. And I thought that was pretty good. Maybe, in fact, to start, now I'll see if I can, 2 Timothy chapter 1, you don't have to turn or else you're going to be schizophrenic here in a second. whatever schizophrenia of switching Bible pages is, I don't want to constantly have you guys running back and forth. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and you guys have heard this one, I'm sure. Verse 6, for this reason I remind you, Paul writing to Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And last night, I was asking the Lord, Father, show me what you have for me to speak. I knew I had a few things brewing for last month or so. Show me what you have for me to speak tomorrow. I put Peter down, my son, 2.5-year-old son, put him down. A lot of times the Lord will speak to me when I'm doing that because it's kind of a quiet place. I put him down, and as soon as I walk out of the room, the Lord speaks, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm like, that's interesting. And he just starts speaking to me about it, and sure enough, earlier that day, Megan's like, I feel like the Lord's going to give you the sermon tonight once the kids are down. So as soon as Peter was down, the Lord starts speaking. And here's what I feel like I heard the Lord say about that. Your timidity is ungodly. It's not of God. Ungodly, it means not of God, not according to God, not from God. Read the verse. God did not give us a spirit of timidity. It's not from God, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to unpack that. So that's kind of like, that's the meat. The timidity that I've experienced is not from God. It's not your friend. I was at a conference Friday in Chicago, actually. This was with my school. This is the first time I've done this where I flew in the morning and flew out in the evening. It was like my commute to work, you know? And my principal told me ahead of time, she's like, I always love doing that. You know, it makes you feel like you're like fancy or something like that. And I did kind of feel a little bit fancy flying into Chicago, flying out, you know. I had a limo driver, you know, in a nice big SUV that drove me like 45 minutes from the airport to the thing. Got to share the Lord with them. Oh, man, it was good. Really, really good. Because I'm in there in the limo with him and I'm thinking to myself, there's no one else here with us. I've got a captive audience. Why would I not share the Lord with him? I'm never going to see him again. You know what I mean? Like, God here has a secret weapon in the back seat, and I'm wondering, and he's probably wondering if I'm going to open my mouth. It's easy. I had 45 minutes. I just was making small talk with him about, you know, what's his job like, who's in his family, how long has he lived in Chicago, all of that sort of thing. And then I say, you know, how many brothers and sisters do you have? He starts talking about his parents. And then he says, oh, we'll be there in about 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, I better get on with this thing. That's plenty of time. I said, I'm curious, did you grow up going to church? And he says, oh, yeah, my mom was a Pentecostal. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. And so I usually went with her. I said, how about your dad? Did he go? Oh, he was Catholic, but he went with us. His grandma, didn't like that. Oh, yeah, I bet. That would have been something. And then I asked him, I said, well, do you go, is that something you still do? Do you still go with your mom to church? He says, no, I haven't gone in a long time. So I just wait. About a minute goes by. He says, so where do you go to church? And I say, oh, a non-denominational church, basically, you know, a Bible-believing church. Oh, okay. And I said, now I'm curious, because I told him, I'm curious because I get different answers from people when they haven't been to church in a long time. I get different answers to this question. So let me try it with you. Is that all right? And I said, if we were to, God forbid, both die today, you got us in a car wreck and we both died, do you think you'd go to heaven? He says, no. Straight out of the gate, no. I said, well, why not? He said, I'm not saved. And I said, you've heard this before. He said, yeah, all my life. And I said, well, okay, now I'm really curious because I'm wondering what you think it takes to be saved. So I say, you know, how would you go about getting saved? If you're not saved and you know you need to be saved to go to heaven, how would you go about getting saved? What do you think? And he says, something to the effect, I can't quite remember, but it was something to the effect of like, follow the Lord and do good. It was a works-based salvation. He says something to the effect of, I've got to be good. And so I said, oh, that's interesting. I had a feeling you might say that. I said, I hear that all the time. It's actually not what the Bible says. I said, would you like to hear what the Bible says? Because that's not what the Bible says. And I think I maybe just launched it. I said, oh, that's actually not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's a free gift, totally free gift to go to heaven. And he says, he pauses for a second and you hear from the front seat, really? He said, I've never heard that before. I said, yeah, most people haven't, but the Bible clearly says it's 100% a free gift to go to heaven. And I know I have a captive audience. And so I start telling them, like we learned in our workshop, the Bible says heaven's a free gift, it's neither earned nor deserved. But man's a sinner and can't save himself. And God is just. He said, surely he will not let the guilty go unpunished, but he's also merciful. He's so merciful, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to pay for our sins and purchase a place in heaven for us for free. And all it takes for us to receive that perfect place in heaven is a little bit of faith. To say, I'm going to trust in the blood of Jesus alone for my eternal salvation. That's it. And I said, I told him, if you pray with me right now, if that stirs your heart, and if you prayed with me right now, that I'm going to trust on Jesus alone to go to heaven, do you know that your eternal destiny would be changed forever, guaranteed, and you could never lose it? I said, you could pray with me right now, and next time I was in the car with you and asked you if you would go to heaven or not, you would be able to tell me emphatically, 100% confidently, yes. Do you know we could do that right now? Isn't that awesome? And at this point, we're within about a minute of our destination. And he says, I think I'd like to think about it. And so I push on him. I said, you know, the beautiful thing about the Lord is he's given you a free will. It's your choice, and there's definitely no pressure from me. I said, that said, if you feel this moving in your heart, I'd really encourage you to respond to it today. I said, is it something you'd like to pray with me today? And he says, I think I need to think about it. Think about it. I say, okay. And before I left my car that morning in the short-term parking, which I found out cost $27 a day at the airport, woo! They said $27. I said, do you read my card right? You know, like the little parking garage card. They said, yeah, one day. I said, oh, and I looked at the thing, and it's $27. Anyway, before I got out of the car that morning in the short-term parking, I thought to myself, I ought to get one of those tracks that they gave us at our training that says eternity in your hand and explains the same thing that I did. And I put two of them in my briefcase. And so I got one out, and I'll tell you, a month ago, the thought of me handing out a track is about like me drinking vinegar, if you guys know me. I don't even eat ketchup because of the vinegar thing. I never thought I'd hand out a track. I always thought it was kind of lame. I don't know. I had a million excuses in my head. I never would have done it. I thought I'd be weirdo. You know what I'm saying? But here I've got this track, and in this case where I know this guy's heart is stirred, but we're kind of out of time, I told him, I said, you know what? I have this, which explains everything that I shared with you today more. And he says, yeah, I'll take it, before I even finish what I'm saying. And I said, I will only give it to you if you promised to me that you'll read it. And he said, I promise. And I give it to him, and I said, here's the beautiful thing. Even though I'm the one that shared this with you, if you pray that prayer that I mentioned that it explains in there, and no one's even around, the Lord will hear you, and your internal destiny will be changed forever, guaranteed. And you can never lose it. Because it's about Jesus' work, not about our work. Isn't that awesome? And here's what's sweet. Give them the track. Hey, there's Brad. Give him the track, and you know what? I can be a normal guy leaving. I get to shake his hand. His company had the best customer service I'd ever seen. As soon as my plane landed, my phone rings. Hello, this is Paul with such and such, you know, and saying, you're going to go like this and this through, like, they knew where we had pulled into. They knew where they were going to park, how for me to get out of O'Hare Airport, described the car, gave me the license plate number and the name of the driver. Isn't that awesome? Great service. And then this guy who I was ministering to, sharing the gospel with, amazing service. And so I got to thank him for their wonderful service. Do you know what I mean? And so not only did I get to share a message that he's never heard before, but I also got to be probably one of his nicer passengers that he's had. Do you know what I mean? And earlier in the drive, he was telling me, he's like, I might be able to cut in front of all these cars, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, man, I don't want to wreck, one. And two, I was thinking to myself, I'm in no hurry. So it dawned on me, why don't you tell him you're not in a hurry? And I got to tell him that and explain my schedule, and he was like, oh, okay. And I think that helped him a lot because he got to have an easy drive instead of rushing. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that as like, we get to be ourselves. They see us as gracious people. We get to share a message, and their eternal destiny can be changed forever. Isn't that awesome? So I was just praying for him. Yeah, Lord, salvation. His name's Mario. Salvation for Mario in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Isn't that awesome? So, so good. I'll give you another one. I got on the plane on the ride back, and I knew I was sitting next to someone who didn't know the Lord. Long story short, we have an absolutely invigorating conversation. I mean, this guy's crazy insightful. And we're talking about everything under the sun. Really amazing. And he gets up to go to the restroom. He went from like trying to play his video game to ignore me at the beginning. But then they made him put their electronic devices away, and I had my in. And I started speaking hope, and that's what drew him. Right? And so we have this invigorating conversation, so invigorating that in the middle, he gets up to go to the restroom and he says, I'm going to run to the restroom and I'll be right back to continue this conversation. Wow. Leaves, goes to the lavatory, comes back, sits down, and I just act casually. He's the one that really works to get the conversation going again. So we're talking, and when he was in the lavatory, I was praying, Father, you're going to have to do something amazing to get us onto the gospel here. Right? And so I said, Lord, it's got to be you. And so we keep talking. And at this point, he already knew, right at the beginning, right? I knew he didn't know the Lord. Right at the beginning, I like to read Psalm 91 before I fly. Because it says, because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil will be allowed to befall you. Everyone on a plane with me is in a lucky position. And so in either case, I was reading that, and I was thinking, oh, I'll get out my small Bible. I was like, no, I'm just going to get out my big Bible. So I laid across my whole lap, and I'm reading Psalm 91, right? And he asked me, he asked me as we start talking, oh, what do you do? And I said, I'm an assistant principal and like an associate pastor. I'm just going to shoot straight with this guy. And so we have this great conversation, so he's probably thinking like, oh, here's a guy who's clearly a Christian, and I'm really finding myself enjoying this conversation a lot. And then towards the end, when we're getting close to the end, he starts telling me about his family life and this amazing story. He's getting reunited with his biological parents. It's just awesome. Like, that's amazing. And he says, and I'm actually going to see him next week, and I'm going to church with my biological dad and his family. And I thought, that's awesome. And so I ask him, is that something you normally do? About a minute later, you said you're going to church with your family. Is that something you normally do? Do you see how the Lord's amazing? The chance of this conversation getting there on its own, you know what I'm saying? But it's casual. I'm wanting it to get there, but I'm not pushing it, right? And I say, what are the chances? You know, how often do you go? He said, oh, I don't go ever. I'm an agnostic, and I'm really set in my beliefs, is what he tells me. I said, well, that's fine. I used to be too. And now here's what's interesting. I really didn't say anything else the rest of the time because I felt like the Lord really pressed on my heart. Your witness to this guy is that, with this guy in particular, is that you're not pushy, that you are really exciting to talk. You just see what I'm saying? Sometimes it's a little bit different. I knew that this wasn't, you know, I knew that this was more about planting a seed and less about reaping a harvest, if you know what I mean. Okay? And he proceeds to talk with me about all his beliefs for 5 minutes walking out of the thing. And here's what's amazing. Right at the end, I get to tell him what is actually on my heart, and I say, I really enjoyed getting to meet you today. He said, yeah, me too, as we look at each other in the eyes and depart. Isn't that awesome? You see, what's interesting is that in the past, I would be a little bit intimidated around an ardent agnostic. By the way, let me say something about agnosticism. If you're an ardent agnostic and you say, I'm putting my foot in the stake in the ground, I'm an agnostic. Isn't an agnostic someone who says you can't know? How can you know that you can't know? Okay. Now, I'm just saying. I can poke fun at it because I used to think that I was an agnostic in college, and I had this one argument that I thought was just a bell ringer, and man, I look back at the argument, it was absolutely one, not based on, it was based contrary to very easily found facts, and it was really dumb, and I thought I was really smart. Now, and I've got a verse for that. Psalm 14:1, I think it is, says, the fool says in their heart, there is no God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, this is Paul. He's saying, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Now listen, when you listen to this, I want it to burn out of you the ways of the world. God's ways are not the world's ways. Listen, yeah, and his thoughts are way higher than ours. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross, verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Come on. See, here's the thing. I want to tell you that to those who are perishing, what we believe is foolishness. And to God, what they believe is foolishness. So you got to decide who you believe. There is a conflict when you bring this stuff up. They believe different than us, and their belief system says we're fools. We believe different than them. God says they're fools. He didn't make them foolish, but he did give them a free will, and you can believe foolish things with your free will. You know, it's really helpful to know that you're right and someone else is wrong when you're going to have a discussion with them. Now listen, this is big boy talk, because or big girl talk, whatever. This is not talking about a heart stance. The heart stance is we do everything with gentleness and respect. Listen to how I got to share with that guy. The heart stance is we give a reason for the hope that's within us with gentleness and respect. I don't have anything harsh there, but I think that the spirit of the world tries to intimidate us off of what we know to be true. That's what I'm addressing. Do you see the difference? if you're going into the conversation and you don't really believe truly that what you have is true and what the other person's believing, if it's not what God says, is wrong, then you won't have confidence to address the difference. Yeah, you'll be insecure. And here's the thing. Timidity, interestingly, in the dictionary, says lack of self-confidence, like in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I think it's lack of Jesus confidence. Do you hear what I'm saying? When I'm sharing the word of the Lord with people, I'm not sharing the word of Peter with people. I don't have to back it up. I'm not, look, right after this in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, I'll read it to you. I'm trying to get across two things. I'm trying to get across that they say that the world would say that we're foolish, but the word of God says that you're foolish if you don't believe the word of God. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get across that difference, and I'm also trying to get it across at the same time. It's two sides of the same coin. At the same time, our heart stance is extremely sweet towards people. It's not us versus them at all. Look, I didn't know the Lord until March 15th, 2005. I thought these same thoughts. They just happened to be wrong. I'm getting more comfortable with this. That's why I'm sharing. Listen to this. For consider your calling, brothers. This helps us do this with humility. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is lowly and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. It's not about us. It's Jesus' confidence. God's even saying, look, Peter, before me, I mean, you were a foolish thing of the world. You know what I'm saying? You weren't real strong. You weren't real good. You kind of were. But I really like exalting people like you because it shows how great I am. Do you know what I'm saying? I was riddled with anxiety, depression. I was socially awkward, all this sort of thing. I was stuck in old habits, all this thing. I mean, I was messed up. Not anymore, praise God. Isn't that awesome? And so, it's about time to do baby dedications. I don't know where to wrap for today. I'm going to keep sharing next week. I've got kind of a lot more. The basic gist of it, so Brad, if you want to start getting ready for baby dedications, feel free. Has this made sense so far? This has been a great progression for me, and that's what I'm trying to kind of tease out. It's been like over a few months, the Lord's really done something in my heart where I'm starting to be fine with the fact that I have an opinion. It just so happens that my opinion is the Lord's opinion. It's the Word of God. And I don't need to be bashful about it. I do need to be respectful. I do need to be loving, but I don't need to be bashful. I don't need to hide behind the wall. I don't need to duck behind the pillar when someone else with a different belief comes up. They're entitled to their belief and they're entitled to be wrong. I'd be just as wrong, except that I believe God. So I'm not wrong. Psalm 18:30 says the word of the Lord proves true. It's right. So if I think what he thinks, I'm right. That's all there is to it. So we'll pick up there next week. Yeah? Good? All right. Bless you.